Good morning. Today's title of today's share is Godol Kvod HaBriyos. There's a pasuk in this week we learned two parashas, Chukas and Balak, and the parasha of Balak. After the Osain, Hashem opened the mouth of the Osain and he reprimanded Bilam. So the pasuk says, Atirani HaOsain, the Malach, then tells Bilam that the offering saw me, but take the phone as I saw the golem. Ulai not saw me upon I had it not gone to the side because of me. Ki apogam oiskorati voisakit, I would have killed you and let it live. But Rashi says, but after, but now, if nature did rob the lamb with the castle, now that he did speak and reprimand you successfully, from a shakosu vayom eloi, now I will not let it live. Now haraktio, I will kill it. That people shouldn't say Zuhi Shasilka Bilam with the Khachta Balyakaloshi, that this is the donkey who bettered Bilam in argument. I won't allow that to happen. Why? Shachas Hamokam Akhoid Abriyah. Because Hashem says, I have compassion, even a Rosha like Bilam, but he's a human being, I have compassion on human dignity. And Bahema says that it's a Bahema Tarogu, Paratish of Bahema in Pashas Akhimus, I believe. An animal, you kill the animal, people shouldn't say this is the animal which caused the downfall for the person. Chas hamokam akhoid abriyos. So I'd like to, Ezra Shem, today discuss a topic in halacha, rather warm day. Taking my jacket off, but if you can keep your thinking caps on, it will be useful. Where kavod abriyos comes into halacha, and an interesting machlok to show him pertaining to that. The source of the Sugya is a Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud test on the base. We won't get to the whole Gemara inside, but basically the Gemara begins as follows: Omer Rav Yud Omer Rav, Hamoit say climb the bigadoy. If somebody finds climb shatnas in his garments, poished on afila b'shuk, he becomes aware that he's wearing shatnas in his garments. He might be in the middle of Oxford Circus. He has to disrobe. Poished on afila b'shuk. My Tana. As a prophet, initially, a chokhma ve'in tivuna ve'in etzavayim Hashem. No chokhmas when it comes to transgressing the commandments. Komokem sheyashchilu l'Hashem, ein chokin kovod l'rav. One doesn't accord honor even to a rav when there's a chil l'Hashem. Interesting lashon of the Gemara, chil l'Hashem, implying that in fact every aver that a person transgresses involves an element of chil l'Hashem. You're disregarding what Hashem has commanded, and therefore you have no right to do so, and even at the expense of losing your human dignity and remaining orum b'shuk. And the Gemara has a number of questions on this saying of Rabbi Yehuda Rav. Further down the Omer, the Gemara says, Toshana, I'll ask a question. There's a writer which says, Godol kvod habriyos, great is the honor of beings, of human beings, shadoiches loisei shebe Torah. One can push aside and transgress a loisei shebe Torah in order to save one's kovod. So therefore, that would, according to that one, wouldn't have to disrobe when we're inclined in the shuk. V'amai, according to you, you should say ein chokma ein kuna ein etz neged Hashem. The Gemara says tirgamo rav v'ashvor kamei derav tahana. But lav de lois sosu. We're not really referring to lois asesh of the Torah. As you know, all drabonons put an asmachta. We have to listen to our mitzvahs because it says lois sosu in the kol rashi yizchoy on the smoke. It's not a real deraita. It's a drabon, but it's an asmachta on the possible. So that's what Godol Kvod HaBriyos Shleiches Leisa Shleiches was referring to, i.e., Kvod HaBriyos can push aside and it's a drabon. But Rashi explains for drabon, Achle LeYikrayu, they themselves will make all their covers for the sake of another person's human dignity. But the writer says the Gemara, indeed, you cannot be over just because of your the lack of your covers. Then the Gemara goes on to say another Toshana, it says, Vissalamta, when the Gemara Elu Messias, if it's not beneath his dignity to go and pick up a lost object, he's not required to do so. That's already a mitzvah same in our Torah, and we still see that his kovod takes precedence. So the Gemara says that the pasuk there, the Gemara says, implying that that's the second category of where we allow kovod habriyos to take precedence when it's dealing with a monetary matter. We're not dealing with isurim, somebody's lost an object. But after all, it's only a monetary matter. So there, rather than degrade yourself, you don't have to return the lost object. For Momoin, Kvod HaBriyos comes first. And then finally, the Gemara says, Toshma, another writer, It's a complicated price, but the price the topic ula achoisoi, an extra word in Pashas Nozir, ula achoisoi, and imena inyan for what it's written for, we dashen it for something else. Hareishoi aholech lishchei tes pitchoi, somebody was on his way to slaughter Korban Pesach, along with Benoi, or to Malit Shah, the question is what that's referring to, but let's say to slaughter his Pesach, and he hears, or he sees a mes mitzvah, so we dashen from this posuk that he's metamei the mes mitzvah, although as a result of that he will become tomei and ineligible to bring the Korban Pesach, but for the sake of the mes mitzvah whose human dignity is being degraded over here, a mes mitzvah, one may become tomei and thereby not bring a Korban Pesach. Well, that's already a mitzvah in our Torah, and it's not mominous, and still you see that kveda brius of a human being allows one to transgress a mitzvah in our Torah. The Gemara says there too, there's a special pasuk, v'ligma mineinu sheva al tasa sham. Right? So there are two types of mitzvah in our Torah. There's a mitzvah, primarily, normally, let us say, when the way you transgress it is by kum va'asei. Right? Hashem says, don't put on klayim. And you put on the klayim, that's kum va'asei. It's worthy to mention that Rashi explains that although we're dealing with a fellow who, when he's put on the klayim, might not have been aware of it, and he himself heard it subsequent, but nevertheless, he put it on a yidei maisa, it's considered that he's transgressing klayim to kum va'asei. And that, indeed, the Gemara says, kum va'asei, to go and with a physical act do something against the commandment in the Torah, you cannot do that. Even at the expense of the Kveda Brit, you cannot do that at all. Here, we're dealing with a mitzvah saseh, bring a Korban Pesach. You become tomei, you will be able to do the mitzvah, you will be over a deraisa, b'sheva al tasa, assisting at home and simply not fulfilling your obligation, because you cannot. You'll be over a mitzvah saseh, b'sheva al tasa. But that's the lesser, whatever the word is, unless rebellion against the Rebbein Shloilam, you're not doing something physically, positively, you're simply sitting home and not doing Sheva al Tasa, that you can do, it's Koy Dabri to this state. So in conclusion, the Gemara over here has told us that an Avera min HaTorah, B'kum Va'asei, no Jew is allowed to transgress, even at the expense of Koy Dabri. There are either three exceptions, and it's a Drabonon, can be transgressed if one's Kvod HaBris is at stake. A monetary matter can be, as it were, transgressed, i.e. you don't have to get involved with monetary matters if your Kvod HaBris is at stake. And a mitzvah min HaTorah, which you would only be transgressing b'shev v'al ta'aseh, that too is okay for you to transgress if your Kvod HaBris is at stake. Now the question which I'd like to focus on today is, what would you say would be the halacha of the following scenario? If there's a gentleman wearing klayim in the street and he's not aware that he's wearing klayim, and you've got inside information, Rafi Morales has told you that this suit contains klayim, do you have to go and tell him your suit contains klayim, your clothing contains klayim, you have to take it off in the shuk? He's unaware. Do you have to go to the chiyuv to be mafresh a person in the ister? We'll see the Shaktari learns it to the Chizman Aferah, says, did you have to go and tell him that, even though that will cause him, his Kvod HaBris, to be diminished, or not? This Shala appears a few times in Shulchan Aruch. Another example it appears in is if a Kohen goes to sleep in a place where there was a mace, he was unaware that there was a mace there, and he goes to sleep, he disrobes, he goes to sleep. Do you have to wake him up and tell him that there's a mace here? And then the halakha would be that he would have to run out without giving himself a time to clothe himself, and therefore his Kvod HaBris would be diminished. Or do you say no, he's unaware, I don't have to tell him? A third example is if somebody's wearing a baguette in the street where the tzitzits became possible, he's not aware the tzitzits became possible on Shabbos, and you're aware for him to take off the baguette, let's say, well, I don't know if it's halakha, but it would be a proper baguette, that if he would take it off it would be an embarrassment for him. Do you have to tell him or not? Do you have to tell somebody that he's being over an Avera? An Avera that he is being over B'kum Va'asei, okay, V'shoigeg, and you have a Chiv Min HaTorah to be mafresh people from an Ifta, do you have to tell such a person, even though that will cause a degradation of his Kvod HaBris? So, if you look in Shulchan Aruch and you're there, it's a machine gimel, you'll see that it's Machlekes Mechab and Ramah, which is the Machlekes, the Rambam and the Rosh. The Roshan of the Mechaba, which is the Roshan of the Rambam, is as follows. For Roya, Klein shall Torah al chaveilo. If somebody sees his friend wearing Klein, afilo hayo mahalech b'shuk, even though the gentleman was in Oxford Circus, koyfei tzloy. The Rambam in fact says not only do you tell him, but you jump on him, the Torah and the olav miyad, and you immediately tear it off him. Afilo hayo rabbi, even if it was his rebbe. Right, you're degrading the fellow, but we're dealing over here with the Issa Torah, so you have to go and tell him and take it off him. So the Ramah, the Yeshayimrim, that's the Rosh, the Maya Levesh Shoigeg, if the Levesh was unaware, he's not doing it intentionally, ain't Thorech Lema Levesh, you don't have to tell him the Shuk. The Mishum Kvoid Abriyah is Yishtoik Vayach Vishayim Meshayge. Because of his Kvoid Abriyah, you should keep quiet and don't be Makrishim from what he's doing Meshayge. Machloek is Rambam on the Rosh, and similarly by the case of the Koyim and Shin Ayin Beis, the Tumas Hadeshem based itself on the Rosh, says you don't have to tell him, and the Rambam agrees and says you do have to tell him. So what is the explanation for this Machloek is Rambam on the Rosh, whether you do have to be Machrish somebody from an Issa he's doing the Shegig, or no, Kvod Abriyas allows you not to be Machrish. So the Shagif Aryeh Simon Nun Ches says that the Machloek Rambam on the Rosh is dependent on two terutzim of a tesis in Shavuos Daf Lamed Omid Beis. The Gemara Shavuos Daf Lamed Omid Beis says, Omar Rabba Bar Avuna, Haitzurva Merabono, a Talmud Chochem, the Yoda B'Sahadusa, he knows testimony about a certain case that's going on in Bezdin, but the Zila Bey Milsa, Lemezel Bey Dina, it's beneath his dignity to go to the Bezdin, he's a Talmud Chochem, perhaps superior even to the Dayonim who are sitting in the Bezdin, him to come as a witness would not. Genuinely would not be tafsindik, so he doesn't have to go. The Gemara gives a qualification, hanamila b'mamayna. That's only if it's dealing with a monetary matter, somebody's a monetary claim. Abu b'isura, the Rashi says, for example, if there's a lady who's come to Bezdin claiming that her husband is dead, and she now wants to get the heter to go marry somebody else, and you know that her husband's alive, and if you won't go and give testimony that her husband's alive, she will go and get married, and she'll be an ashes ish. The matter of isura. Then ein chokma, the same word as Rabbi Amram's brachas, ein chokma, ein tivuna, ein etzla neged Hashem, kol mokum shesh vechil Hashem, ein chokma rav. There you don't look at your own dignity, and you have to go to Beis Din to be mafresh this lady from possibly transgressing a serious issue. So Tosfos over there in the middle of Divrei Matzil Avol says miutema the hocha sheva al tafsehu. Let's think. I have a chiyuv to be makrish my fellow Jew from doing an issa. If I were not to do my chiyuv, I would be transgressing the chiyuv that I have to be makrish on the issa. How would I be transgressing that chiyuv? The sheva al tasa. I will not done what's obligatory on me to get up and do. I will simply have sat back and not done it. Now over here, if somebody's kvod abriyus is at stake, my own in this instance, it makes no difference by the way who's kvod abriyus. Mine or somebody else's kvod abriyus is kvod abriyus. Somebody's kvod abriyus is at stake. So according to what we learned in the Gemara Brachah, it ought to be permitted for me, the Talmud Chacham, the Tzuvim Rabbonim, on account of his kvod abriyus, not to be mafresh for this lady meis, but because after all, it's a shev al tasa. If he doesn't go, he'll be over shev al tasa. And we learned in the Gemara Brachah, the concluding words of the Gemara was shev al tasa shana, the one may transgress an issa, but shev al tasa. So why over here does the Gemara say that when dealing with Isurim I do have to go and not look at my honour? After all, it's only Sheva Al-Tasa if I don't go. Okay, so Tosfos of the Sutra Ritzim, let's try and follow this. Tosfos as follows. The first parrot is the Hosom Gnai Godoyhu, Mesmitzvah She'en Le'Koivrim, or to stand naked in the Shuk is a Gnai Godoyhu. The Sugya Brachah dealt with big Gnai. There the Sugya said that if you're only going to transgress B'Sheva Al-Tasa, that's okay, because there's a big Gnai involved over here. There's a mess mitzvah over here. Go ahead and take care of it. Kvod Abriyah is a big Gnai, that's okay. Kumza Asei? No. Even a big Gnai, even though you're going to be Oron B'Shuk, you cannot. But the whole sugya there was dealing with a big Gnai, Gnai Gov. But here was a Gnai problem. However important this Tzurim Rabbona might be, but at the end of the day, things to go to Beis Din and give testimony cannot be considered a big Gnai, it's a minor Gnai. So Tosfos says that you saw that with a minor Gnai, a Gnai Kotzen, you cannot transgress even a Sheva Al-Tasa. The Gemara Brachah permits you for the sake of Kvodah Briyas to transgress an Aveir B'Sheva Al Tarsa, as long as you're not doing it, just sitting back, permits you to do so when a Gnai Godel is at the stake. Of course, Gnai Kotzen, there you cannot transgress even an Aveir B'Sheva Al Tarsa. That's the first hypothesis. The second hypothesis is, the kishoisin isur al yodai lay mikra sheva al tafsa. So he says, no, this is not a case of sheva al tafsa. If you sit back, in the case of Pesach, if you sit back and you don't want to call Pesach, you'll have transgressed the sheva al tafsa, that's it, end of story. But over here, if you sit back and you're not fulfilling your obligation of hechayat echiyah, of lachusha mitzura, somebody out there, this lady, will go about and marry a gentleman and be over an avera bakumba asay. So kishoisin isur al yodai, when other people will be doing an isur bakumba asay through me sitting back and not being much on the isur, that has to be viewed as a kumba asay, not as a sheva al tafsa. I don't look at my specific action or non-action. I look, I have to take a more global view. What's going to occur over here? A kumba asay will occur. So I have to view this as a kumba asay. No. So kumba asay, we already learned, the Gemara Brach teaches us, you don't look at koyd avris at all. You cannot transgress at all the kumba asay. So we have to view this as a kumba asay. According to the second pair of places, indeed, a sheva al tasa, one could well transgress even for kanai kot. That's not the answer, right? It's just that we don't view this as a sheva al tasa, we view this as a kumba asay. The third pair of places, no. I don't care about what's going on over there. I look at my chiyuv. My chiyuv is to nafesh me'isaf. If I don't do that, I am over the sheva al tasa. Therefore, it ought to be permitted for me to do so for the sake of Toda Briyas. Except that we have to be mechadish anew. You say that Toda Briyas was only, in the case of Sheva al Tasa, was only permitted for a Gnai Godel, not for a Gnai Kotzen. So in the Shagas Ari, we see that these two Tzuritzim of Tzaitas differ as to how do we look at the situation where I have a fellow Jew being over an Aveir of a Kumba Asay, I could stop that happening. If I were not to stop that happening, how are we to view that? The first Tzaitas says, we are to view that as a Sheva al Tasa. As far as I'm concerned, all I would be doing was something wrong. The Sheva al Tasa. The second Tzaitas is, oh, well, we are to view that as a Kumba Asay. I wouldn't be doing the Kumba Asay, but the Kumba Asay would be taking place by me not being Matshemi. So we are to view that, therefore, as a Kumba Asay. The Shagatari says, very beautifully, that this is the Biur of the Machlekes between the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam learns that the second Tzaitas. And the Rambam says, I see my friend wearing Klein Beshuk. I'm going to go up to him and tell him. Because he is doing an Issa B'Kumba Asay. My not telling him can't be viewed merely as a Sheva Al Tasa if I were not to fulfill my obligation of telling. Because an Issa would be done by him B'Kumba Asay. So I have to view this as a Kumba Asay. And Kumba Asay, Kvodah Briyas doesn't play a role, so I have to go and tell him. Even though he'll be embarrassed, I can't help it. He's being over Kumba Asay. I take the global view of Kumba Asay is being done over here, therefore I have to tell it. The Rosh learns that the first set of the places. Am I not telling him? Is maybe a Sheva Al Tasa? I don't look at the global view. I myself would be over the Sheva Al Tasa. So the Rosh says, in that case, I have to take Kvodah Briyas into consideration. And I say, why should I embarrass the fellow Kvodah Briyas? I'll be over the Sheva Al Tasa. And therefore I'm permitted to the Rosh Yishtoik, but I have to shenu mishegit. And therefore, the Shaitara goes on to conclude, and he says, I've got proof, that all the Rishonim, he says, the Ramban and Rashi, none of them are mechalitim, my godel and my kotzen. He says they must have all taken on the second set of places that we view it as a kumba asay. And therefore he says it seems that the Rav Rishonim hold out the Ramban, you view it as a kumba asay. Therefore he says, I don't understand why there are more Tuskens like the Rosh, so you don't have to tell him, you should have to tell him. And in fact, if he disagrees, this for sure brings down in the Shulchan Aruch, and he says in such cases you do have to go and be mafresh your friends and over an aver b'shoikim, because we view it as a kumba asay, and Kvodah Briyas doesn't can't be taken into account. That is the explanation of the Shagat Ari of the Machlekes, the Rambam, the Rosh. But the Tshuvas Pri Yitzchok, which was written by Rabbi Yitzchok Lazar, the Beitul Petzebog, he was known as, has two difficulties with the explanation of the Shagat Ari in the Machlekes in the Rambam, the Rosh. He says, I don't believe that Machlekes Rambam Rosh has anything to do with Tzitzit Mishul. Tzitzit Mishul is there and says what he says, but he says, I don't believe that the Machlekes Rambam and the Rosh have got anything to do with it. Because if you Shagat Ari were to be correct, so he says, let's think. then it would turn out that the Rosh is only permitting one not to be matters this gentleman from his Avera that he's doing B'kum Va'atei. The Rosh ought to permit such a person not to be mafresh his friend from an Avera only if the Gnai Godel is involved. Because if the Rosh is going at the first Teret of Tosfos, then Tosfos says that it's Muchach in the Gemara and Shavuos from the fact that Tzurim Rabbonim does need to come by Yisurim, that we don't look at Gnai Kotzim, it's only Gnai Godel that allows one not to be over Sheval Tav. And therefore the Rosh ought to have said, when should you not be mafresh your friend from wearing Klayim when that's his only garment? And him taking it off will cause him to stand naked B'shuk. That's the Gnai Godel, then don't turn it. But Rosh doesn't say that, he says. It seems from Rosh that even if it's his 10th overcoat, Yishreg, Agach Mishayim Mishayim, he's doing it Mishayim, you don't have to be Mafreshim. If the Rosh were based on the first set of places, he ought only to permit one to sit back and not be Mafreshim if a Gnai Godel was involved, and the Rosh doesn't say that. Furthermore, after the previous talk, if the Rambam, who says you do have to go and separate your friend from transgressing the Shogi, if he were to take the view like Shalikari suggested, that the reason for that is because we take the global view and we look at it as a kumva asei, you cannot transgress even when there's a Gnai Godel involved, right? That's the Gemara Brachos. When you're wearing climb on your own baggage, you've got to be pushed out fill of the shuk. The great Gnai, but the kumva asei, you cannot transgress even the Gnai Godel. So the Rambam therefore ought to require one to separate one's friend from an Issa, even if the Gnai Godel is involved. But he said, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, when he discusses this halacha, that Tzurim Rabbonim doesn't have to say Eidus for Momonos, for Isurim he does have to say Eidus. The Rambam goes on to say, comes against the Mishnah's understanding, that a Melech doesn't have to say Eidus and Bezdin even to be Mafresh a lady and Eishetish from Isurim. I, the Rambam seems to factor in over here that a Tzurim Rabbonim only has a Gnai Kotzon does have to go, but a Melech who has a Gnai Godel to go to a Mir Bezdin, he doesn't have to. Says the Kri Yitzchok, that's okay if we're dealing with Sheval Tasa. Gnai Godel, Gnai Kotzon can play a role. But if we're dealing with Kum Va'asei, if you, Shai Gisari, are correct that the Rambam's requirement to be Mafresh in the first place is based on the fact that he considers it Kum Va'asei, then the Rambam ought to require even a Melech to come and Mafresh something Mi'itzah, because otherwise the Kum Va'asei will be transgressed. And Rambam says that a Melech doesn't have to. So therefore the Kri Yitzchok says, and this is the actual vault, which I think is a beautiful explanation, he disagrees with the Shadis Ari's explanation of the Rambam and the Rosh. And he says that their machlokes has nothing at all to do with Tosfos and Shavuos, and their machlokes centers on another point altogether. Because he says as follows, if I see my friend wearing Klein B'Shuk, and the question is now, should I go and tell him or should I not go and tell him? Who is going to be embarrassed over here? My friend, not me. So he says, therefore, the point of focus has to be my friend's Kvod HaBriyos versus vis-a-vis his Avera. That's the Makom HaMishkal. That's where I have to weigh one against the other. Directly dependent, the Tolada, of what his din will be whether I have to mafresh him from an Isra or not. But since the way my Kvod HaBriyos is not at stake over here at all, his Kvod HaBriyos is at stake, I have to examine over here, does his Kvod HaBriyos allow him to do what he's doing, or does it not allow him to do what he's doing? If his Kvod HaBriyos allows him to do what he's doing, then what he's doing is not wrong. And if what he's doing is not wrong, I don't have to tell him to stop doing it. If his Kvod HaBriyos were not to allow him to do what he's doing, then he is doing something wrong, and if he's doing something wrong, then I have to tell him to stop doing it. My chiv to tell him to stop doing it can be viewed as a Sheval Tasa, can be viewed as a Kum Va'asei, it's neither here nor there. The point of focus has to be his Kvod HaBriyos versus the Avera that he's doing. So let's think about it. What Avera is he doing when he's wearing Klein B'Shuk? Is he doing Kum Va'asei, is he doing Sheval Tasa? He's doing Kum Va'asei. That's what we said. A guy put on Klein initially. He put it on initially. The perpetual wearing based on the initial putting on is considered the Kum Va'asei, as Rashi explains it. He's doing Avera B'Kum Va'asei. But is he doing it intentionally? No, he's doing it unintentionally. He's doing it B'Shuk. So he says this is the point of the machlokes in the Rambam. So the Rambam says the fact is he's doing an Avera B'Kum Va'asei. Unintentional, you're intentional, not intentional, he's doing an Avera B'Kum Va'asei. Doing an Avera B'Kum Va'asei, can he say, I have a right to do so because were I to stop doing so, I would be Orem Bashur, Poyda Brit were to be involved, does he have a right to factor in his own lack of Poyda Brit if he were to stop being Oedis of Ebbe Gomorrah? He doesn't have a right to do so. Because the Kumbar say you cannot factor in Poyda Brit. So it comes out, says the Rambam, according to B. Yitzhak, that his Poyda Brit is weighed against the type of Avera that he's doing, his Poyda Brit is gets nullified. You cannot be doing such an Avera, Rebbe Levin, for the sake of when it comes to being over an Avera Bekumba Aseh. So if your Poyda Brit cannot be taken into consideration. So the Rambam says, no, his Poyda Brit can't be taken into consideration, so what he's doing is wrong. Once what he's doing is wrong, I have to stop him doing it. It could be that were I not to stop him doing it, I would only go over Sheva Al-Tasa, like the first pair of the places. That's neither here nor there. I can't be over Sheva Al-Tasa and Avera, right? You can't not bring the conversation just for the heck of it. Only Poyda Brit is involved. Whose Poyda Brit is involved over here? His Poyda Brit. His Poyda Brit has become nullified because he's been over in Avera with Kumba Asay. And that's really nullified his right to human dignity to Poyda Brit. Therefore, he cannot do what he's doing. I cannot take into consideration his Poyda Brit. I have to stop him doing it. Whereas the Rosh says true. He's been over and over Bakumba Asay. But at the end of the day, he doesn't know about it. He's doing it b'shogeg. He's not doing it intentionally. So the Rosh says, let's have a look. The Lashon of Gemara in Brachos was, why can he not be over and over Bakumba Asay? The Gemara says, Komokem shesh chilul Hashem, ein chokin kovad merav. The gentleman who's doing an Aver b'chilul Hashem, you can't take Koyla Brit into consideration. So the Rosh says, according to Free Yitzchok, chilul Hashem! That's only true if somebody's being over an Avera b'mezit. But if somebody's being over an Avera b'shogeg, albeit b'kum v'asei, but he didn't intend to do anything bad. He thought his wife had sent it to the Shatna of Lamb and she hadn't. But he was unintentional. So the Rosh, as it were, introduces a fourth category into the permissibility of Toyda Briyat, allowing one to transgress an Avera. In the Gemara Brachas it says, Anissa Drabolon can be transgressed. Molinus can be transgressed. Sheval Tasa can be transgressed. And the Rosh introduces the fourth category. An Avera Bekum V'Asei being done by Shogeg can also be transgressed for the sake of preserving one's human dignity for the sake of Poyda Brit. So that the Rosh says, you examine now this gentleman's actions, you'll see that his Poyda Brit does allow him, in his unaware state of what he's doing, does allow him to continue doing it. Because as a Shogeg, although he's being over Bekum V'Asei, Poyda Brit becomes the Rosh's Duchel Rosham involved there. So his Koyda Brit allows him to continue doing it. So to the extent that his Koyda Brit allows him to continue doing it, says the Rosh, I have no need to go in Mashmashim. What's wrong? He's doing an Avera? He's not doing an Avera. His human dignity is at stake of it. His human dignity is intact. Because his Avera is only Avera B'Shoigeg, and Koyda Brit is Becha and Avera B'Shoigeg. And therefore I have no need to Mashmashim. Says the Kri Yitzchak. The Rosh says, even if he's wearing a Beget Elyon, I don't need to Mashmashim. Because the permissibility of an Avera B'Shogeg being done is permitted even for Gnai Kotel. It's even better than a Sheval Tasa. Sheval Tasa, Tosa says, only works for Gnai Gogel. Oh, but this new fourth category which the Rosh is Mechazesh, that an Avera B'Shogeg ain't the Chilul Hashem, and therefore it can be done, it can be done even for the sake of a Gnai Kotel. Even if it's a Beged Elyon, I don't have to be Mafushim. And furthermore, the Rosh can even hold that if not being Mafushim is considered Oisin Israel, the other is considered the Kumbar State. Ordinarily, it is considered the Kumbah Seh Pat, right? The second Eretz place in the Shavuot. Nevertheless, I don't have Mafshim over here, because what Kumbah Seh will it be considered as being done over here, as it were? The Kumbah Seh that he's doing, which is B'Shogeg. And that's the Kumbah Rosh, is not enough of a reason to push away Poyda Brit. Therefore, concludes the Kri Yitzchak that the Ramah is right in his track. Because the Rosh's explanation of his halacha was a totally different explanation, that an Avera, B'Shogeg, can be done if Koyda Brit is at stake. And therefore, although indeed we might pass in that normally when people do an Issa al-Yodah, it's a Kumbah Asay, nevertheless, the Rosh is right in his argument that Rabbi, you don't have to be Mafreshim, because Aver is being done B'Shogeg, and Aver B'Shogeg, Koyda Brit is Becha. And therefore, the halacha, we have a disagreement over here between the Shagas Aryeh and the Kri Yitzchak. Shagas Aryeh said that you would have to be Mafreshim, referring to doing an Aver B'Shogeg. He said, I don't like the remorse of that, you have to follow the Rambam in this case. And the Kri Yitzchak says, that's according to your explanation of Machlokes, Rambam and Rosh, but according to my explanation of Rambam and Rosh, the Rosh can be perfectly well understood and in keeping with Halacha, and you wouldn't have to be Mafreshim your friends for doing Avera B'Shogeg. I just want to conclude in 20 seconds with the following thought, that today the Western culture is all into emphasizing human dignity and human rights. But a Yid has to know that that's all well and true, and Foida Bries is Godel Foida Bries, and is very important, but only if and when it doesn't contravene Hashem's words. There are parameters. If it's a Drabonon, they were Mokal, they're covered Momulus, yes, Sheval Tata, yes, according to Rosh and Aveir B'Shoge, yes. But if it steps one iota over Chilul Hashem, then of course one doesn't take into account Foida Bries. However, when no Chilul Hashem is involved, then indeed, Godel Foida Bries.